Have you ever been telling a story and you're like getting really in depth and maybe you're telling your side of a situation or maybe something happened to you and you're just trying to vent to somebody or just kind of like just tell somebody a story about your life, about you, and a story that has a lot of meaning and nuance to it for you. And after you're done telling this story and the person you're telling the story looks at you, and they completely didn't get it. They missed the point. They don't understand why you're upset. They're confused. They equate it to something in their life that has absolutely nothing to do with what you told the story about. And you're left sitting there baffled and confused because you're like, wait a minute. I feel like I completely just told a story that had nothing to do with your response. Why did you respond like that? So maybe you take two roads. The first road, you let it go. You move forward. You don't get mad about it. You're kind of just like, okay, well, I guess you're not a type of person that I can vent to or I can allow in these spaces because you're not understanding. You're not taking the time to see my point of view. Or you can take the other route where you're calling the person out, explaining your point, explaining why it upset you that that person didn't understand where you were coming from, and explaining how to better be a better friend to you or a person that you can confide in the future. Both of these are valid options. I just want to put that out there. But you might be sitting here wondering, because I know we've all been in this situation, you might be sitting here wondering, Jazzy, what the heck does that have to do with the price of beans, child? Like, my grandpa used to say that to me all the time. And I promise you, your girl has a point. I definitely have a point. So let's get to the point. The point is that that is the problem that we're seeing when we have people of a non-marginalized group doing a movie or TV show review for a show or movie that was made for a marginalized group, that the audience in mind was that marginalized group, that the representation is for that marginalized group. So it's not for you. It's not FUBU. It's not for you by you, period. And so sitting there and giving a review, you have to use that nuance to understand that it maybe was not meant for you. It maybe was meant for someone else. And we're seeing an uptick of this on apps like YouTube and TikTok. Not so much anywhere else, maybe Twitter as well, but especially lately on TikTok. So I think that it's time for me to make an episode. Let's talk about it. Okay. I think I should give a little bit more context. So let's go a little bit more in depth into this conversation. So, what I mean by that is that, for example, let's go a little bit more into like the history of the issue with this. When it comes to shows, especially for POCs or the LGBT community, the Alphabet Mafia, in the past, we've run into issues where as soon as the show gains that popularity in that community, the show gets canceled. And maybe it's because there were people that were upset about it. Maybe it's because they don't feel like these audiences are actually worth making the shows. And so we've seen a very white, straight, heterosexual audience on TV for a very long time. And it's not that I don't enjoy shows like Friends or The Office, etc. But I enjoy these shows. They're not terrible shows. The problem with these shows is that sometimes I would like to see myself in the show, but not as the butt of the joke. So lately, with the uproar of these new wave of TV shows and movies, we're starting to see more representation, especially after seeing the backlash they've gotten in the past. For example, the Cusco effect in Disney, where our first black princess was a frog most of the movie. We're finally seeing that Disney's taking that information and rolling with it and understanding they need to show more representation in a better way. Even to the point where when they did Ralph Breaks the Internet, when they made Tiana lighter skinned with more Eurocentric features, Anika Noni took it to Disney and said no, as she's the voice of Tiana, if you aren't aware of that. She said no, hey Disney, this is not okay. Change Tiana back, make her skin back the way it was. Give her back her Negro nose. Like, give me my black princess the way she's supposed to look. We're not doing this. Make her hair kinky because it was kinky in the movie. Like, we're not doing this. And I appreciate having people who have that power and that voice going to them and saying, I don't care. Like, I don't owe you anything. Do something about this. And it's kind of beautiful, but it's also kind of frustrating that it has to be done in the first place. But because of those moments, we are now seeing that things like this are being taken more seriously. I mean, even in Encanto, you see that the Afro-Latinas have kinky hair because they are black. That Felix is a black Afro-Latina. He has kinky hair. I am here for it. And I love it because it's like we come in all different shapes, sizes, colors, hair textures, etc. And those should be represented because it's beautiful to be able to look at the TV and say, that's me. I look like that. That's me. I know, for example, seeing myself in Mary Jane, but MJ on in the new Spider-Man movies has been really therapeutic for me because I've always loved MJ. And I felt so, like, seen when Zendaya was playing her, especially with the way that she has taken that role and the things that she says and the things that she stands for. I'm like, yes, I'm here for it, sis. Yes, thank you. So I feel as though this is why we are so sensitive when it comes to these things being created. And this is why we're seen as gatekeepers when we have problems with some of the reviews that have been done on our TV shows and on our movies. Because we're like, damn, we get so little and you picked it apart or you ruined it because you didn't even understand the message. Because one, it wasn't meant for you. And two, you didn't understand the message because you were so caught up in trying to see yourself in the characters. You couldn't just enjoy the movie. You couldn't just watch the movie. You had to find a way to relate it back to you in order to make the movie watchable to you. And let's just be honest, that's exactly what the issue is. And that's the problem that we need to talk about. Okay, so first let's tackle the issue with certain movie reviews that at least I've seen recently. So I feel like a lot of these movie reviews are become very problematic, and it's been happening this way for a little bit now, especially on TikTok. Ever since people started watching movies on TikTok and feeling like they're a movie expert, we've run into the issues. There was a movie reviewer that did a review of Promising Young Woman, and yes, this reviewer has since apologized and corrected themselves, so I will not be mentioning their name, but if you know, you know. But they did a review of the movie, but they were not the target audience. The target audience for Promising Young Woman was young women. Women were the audience. And so women got it. The girls that get it, get it. The girls that don't. If you don't get it, you're just not that bitch. Period. Like, what? So it was just frustrating because this movie reviewer missed the entire point of why this movie was important. And when they were finally explained the certain issues in their review, they understood, they took a step back and they did it again. And I respect that. And I do accept that apology for that misunderstanding. But it's one of those things where if they had taken the second to, like, you know, talk to a woman about their point of view of the movie or added a little nuance, understand that this movie was made for a marginalized group that's maybe not heard enough, they would have understood why the movie was the way it was and why certain choices were taken the way they were. We have to look at a lot of things before we do movie reviews. Who's directing? Who's in the writer's room? What is the bio for this movie or the background, the backstory? Who does this movie look like it is trying to say something to? All of that matters before you do a movie review. You can't just decide to watch a movie and say, I'm going to review it. That's literally not how it works. Because then you end up giving crappy movie reviews that you have to get apologized for. Go back and redo, or in some cases, you get canceled. But that's a little bit later. We'll talk about that. So another issue is that with Disney's new movie, Encanto, it is, first of all, an amazing movie. But there was a problem with a lot of white people took this movie and they ran with it. And especially white LGBTQ people. And honestly, I'm a part of the Alphabet Mafia myself, so no hate here. But to say things like Isabella is a lesbian because she chose not to marry No, she probably just didn't like that guy. She probably just wasn't ready to get married. They maybe she just wanted to be by herself for a while. Like, independence does not equal lesbian. I don't understand that. My friend is younger than me. She's a lesbian and she's married. So I'm confused. Like, how does that work? Or to say that Louisa is trans, that is both transphobic to the trans community and also problematic towards women of color. And I know a lot of people have touched on this, but I have to explain to that how often women of color, especially Black women and Latina women, are compared to men is disgusting. It's disgusting. It's annoying, it's atrocious, and it's honestly very frustrating that people automatically go there when it comes to us because of our body types. Look at how people treat Meg Thee Stallion. She's the same height as Taylor Swift. She is just built differently, but she's a man and Taylor's not. I'm confused. Make it make sense, please. Because there are models her height with her same build that are not treated like men. It's because she's Black. Literally, that's the only difference. So let's be real. Let's call a spade a spade. And so to say that Louisa is trans just because she has muscles is a disgusting notion, because not all trans women have muscles. Like what? Like, I don't even understand. And the fact that people aren't finding these notions problematic is part of the problem. I also saw a review where someone said they were working on this ridiculous theory that Bruno is Mirabelle's real father. Like, are you kidding me? First of all, that's her uncle. I don't know about you, but some of my siblings, they look like my other relatives because we're related. It's how genetics work. It's weird, I know, but it's crazy, but it's true. My younger sister looks just like my aunt. And my mom looked, and my younger cousin look exactly alike. And it's really funny because we always talk about how they got the wrong babies, but they're years apart. It's not possible. It's just interesting that my younger sister looks and acts like my aunt, and my younger cousin looks and acts like my mom. And my mom loves it, and my aunt always calls her like, "Oh, that's little Trita," because she acts just like my mom. And so. But they're cousins, you know what I mean? That's her aunt. So to be honest, like, to say that is kind of just woolly, just weird. It's sus and it's disrespectful because you're once again missing the entire point of the movie. They're like, well, all of the pictures of Bruno are missing up to Bruno's room. Of course the pictures are missing up to Bruno's room. Have you ever had a family member who up and left? I don't know if you watched a movie, but they said Bruno left. They thought Bruno left, like he wasn't at the house anymore, like he left to protect Mirabelle. People are like, he was banished. No, Bruno left. Please watch the movie again if you think he was banished. He left. So when a family member leaves like that, the rest of the family is left to deal with it. And when the way that the rest of the family deals with it is sometimes they get rid of any trace of that family member because it hurts them to think about, wow, this family member left and now I have to see pictures of them and it reminds me of the pain and how much I miss them. I don't want to see them anymore. So they take the photos down. That's why they don't talk about Bruno, because they don't want to hurt Abuela's feelings. They don't want to bring him up. They leave it alone because it's too painful of a topic because they miss their family member. I don't understand how you can sit there and think about it and not see it that way. But that's because you're not taking the steps to talk to people of these cultures, of these backgrounds, to talk to a person of color and ask them, maybe why is this way? Why is that way? Or why would they make that choice in that movie? You know what I'm saying? Instead of just going straight forward and making a movie review based off of your own preconceived notions because you're trying to insert yourself in something that has nothing to do with you. You're trying to put yourself in a place that has nothing to do with you. And it's just frustrating to the people that this was for, because they get to finally feel like they have a place and you are like, nah, you have a place, but let me just make it my space. It's like, Jesus, can't you just watch the movie and enjoy it for what it is? Is it impossible? Is that not easy for you? I don't know. These are the questions that some of y'all gotta ask yourselves though. Like, I can't answer those for you. Okay. So now let's talk about TV shows. Quick story time. My ex-boyfriend is a white boy. And I promise you this is important to the story. Bear with me. And he didn't grow up with a lot of POC media, especially black TV shows. And you guys know I am all about a black sitcom. If you don't know, now you know, okay? I love them. So I spent a lot of time showing him some of my favorite black sitcoms from growing up. Like Half and Half, he enjoyed that one. Sister, Sister, he enjoyed that one. I showed him Living Single. He loved that one. He loves Max and Kyle. So like, but he also loves Opalton too. So, but we like, I showed him all these shows because I wanted him to understand that my culture is a little different. And yeah, it was interesting to see him watch because sometimes there were jokes he didn't get. Maybe because he didn't know the background, he didn't know the characters, the people that they were talking about, or because they were using AAVE, African American Vernacular English, and he didn't understand. And so I would tell him. And he learned a lot of AAVE validating me. And so he understood, like, okay, this is what Jazzy's trying to say. Because I don't code switch in the house. I'm not code switching with you. If we live together, I'm just saying what I say, the way I say it. Naturally, it comes out. And either you get it, you get it. You don't, you don't. And I might have to explain it later. But whatever, you know? It's frustrating. So it was the fact that he started to understand it was really helpful. But my point is that those TV shows are made for a predominantly black audience because they show us, like, they show us on screen. They are telling our stories. You have episodes, things like Fresh Prince, which is a more palatable, as I would say, black TV show that a lot of white people love. You also have shows like A Different World, and one something that's in common with things like Living Single, A Different World, and Fresh Prince is the fact that they were always wearing sweatshirts from different historical black colleges. You know how crazy it is that I go up to people today and they still don't know what a HBCU is? Historical black college. I'm not asking you to know what the Divine Nine is, but you gotta at least know what HBCU means. Come on. They don't even understand that. And so to have that representation is huge because they were trying to get more black people to get college educated. And there were such great things about this TV show. For example, weight is never discussed really outside of maybe calling Max chicken legs or skinny. But they're never calling each other fat or anything like that in TV shows like Living Single. They are literally just celebrating each other's bodies, and they all pull all types of dudes. No one is like the ugly friend that can't pull a dude. They're all pulling dudes left and right. They're all gorgeous. I mean, Sinclair pulls Shamar Moore. If you know, you know. So I'm going off on a tangent, but I just wanted to say that is why having these TV shows is so important, because I never felt like I was an outcast. I felt seen on these TV shows by such beautiful, gorgeous women. And we're getting that back with shows like Insecure and Harlem. And so when I see a review on the TV show Harlem done by a non-black woman, because you ain't the audience. If you're not a black woman, you are welcome to the TV show, but understand you are not the audience. For example, Insecure is the same way. You're welcome to watch Insecure. It's a great TV show. You are not the audience if you are not a black woman. That's it. Sorry, not sorry. You're not the audience. It's not for you. But essentially, watching these TV shows, I see myself. I finally felt like totally connected to a main character again. And now I'm at the age with these main characters. So I'm going through similar stuff. I'm going through breakups like Issa, or I'm going through all of the stress that they're going through in Harlem and in a city where things are being gentrified left and right. And you're just trying to figure stuff out. And she's got to have it. I'm going through people not understanding that I am creative, and creative people just are a little bit different. And that's okay. Like, I think that it is beautiful to see these things come out, because we are finally getting to see different shades, styles, and personalities of black women on TV. We're not all just sassy, attitude having black women. We are different. We are different shades, different styles, different aesthetics, different colors. Some of us are bougie, some of us are frugal. We are all different. Some of us are bougie and frugal. I don't know how it works, but it works. Let me tell you, look at Regine. So at the end of the day, I think that it is beautiful to see those things. And so when people make reviews and they're not that audience, they have to be careful. Now, I know this is really long-winded, but I promise you that there's an actual point at the end of this. There was a TV show called Abbott Elementary that was about black inner city schools and teachers teaching, I believe it's on the East Coast. And a woman who teaches at a school decided to make a review on the TV show. And instead of talking to other black teachers in those areas or trying to understand if that's every school is different or doing even the bare minimum of research, they decided to just go off on a tangent about how unrealistic this TV show is. And I would like to point out there were three things wrong with this. The first problem is that this TV show was created by a black woman, Quinta. We love Quinta. We were watching Quinta all the time on YouTube. We love us some Quinta. Don't come for Quinta. We will end you. That's like watching Black Lady Sketch Show and coming for like Issa. No, don't do that. Leave these shows alone. No, it's not about you. It's not for you. Hush, sis. So that was problem number one. Problem number two is that there were black teachers in her comments telling her that this is their actual experience, giving examples of when these things actually happened, a time that they had a planning period so they got their nails done because it was across the street, etc. And that these neighborhoods talking about how all of these things are accurate to them. And then the third issue is that she addressed things without thinking about them first. For example, she addressed how the teacher that's a substitute that was actually went to school to be a principal doesn't know how to talk to a parent. Instead of looking at the fact that if she actually paid attention to the episode, he's a substitute. So he didn't want to overstep when talking to the parents. So he wanted to know the best way to go about it without being disrespectful, overstepping, because he's not the permanent teacher. His whole struggle is, I'm not a permanent teacher. I'm not going to be here forever. Like, I don't understand how that wasn't understood while watching the same show I watched, because I feel like I understood it. Like, come on now. She also did not address the white savior teacher, completely ignored the teacher's white savior moment. And it was kind of upsetting because it's like, this is something that you could be talking about in relationship to you. And then I was told, and I did see in the comments that this person is saying, well, I'm kind of that teacher sometimes, so I didn't want to address it. Well, then you don't have the right to address everything else. What? So it was this, it was basically the issue was the silencing of black voices when they called them out for what they were saying and why it was problematic. And so eventually people made videos, and I left comments. I said what I said, and I was apologized to in the comments before they blocked, before they deleted their entire page. It's not on private. The page is deleted, y'all. They deleted their TikTok over this. And that's how bad it can get when you piss off a marginalized group because you talked about something that wasn't something that you should be talking about because you didn't take the time to realize you weren't the audience and you have to use a little bit more nuance. It's like, and that is the issue that I keep bringing up because that is the whole point of this episode. Before movie reviewers give these reviews, they need to understand, was this movie made for me? But also, before you go running with a movie review that you just listened to or a TV review that you just listened to, you have to think about, was this meant for me? Or was this not meant for me? Like, or was this meant for that person? Like, does this person actually understand the subtle nuances? Were they the target audience or were they not? So should I take their movie review for face value or should I just not? I do that with comic book movie reviews. If a person is a person that's not really into comic books, doesn't know the character outside of the way Disney's written them for a Marvel movie, I can't take your movie review seriously. I'm sorry, because I feel like you're only taking it from their perspective of what you should see in this character, and you're not giving me a review of this character versus the movie version of this character. But that's just my prerogative. So like I said, just use a little bit more cautious when you take like these movie reviews, or even Rotten Tomatoes is not, there's not a lot of POCs or women in those rooms. So you have to take that stuff with a grain of salt and make your own decision, especially if the movie is made for you as an audience member. Okay. So to sum this up, we're just saying that, like, because, you know, representation, it matters and it's important, and don't taint the representation by trying to force yourself to fit into the narrative. Just allow yourself to watch a movie and enjoy it for what it is. And before you make a movie review or a TV review, ask yourself if you're the target audience, if this was meant for you, if you are the person this movie is supposed to speak to or supposed to represent. And then If you aren't, then, you know, use a little bit more nuance and educate yourself a little bit more before you open up your mouth about it. In the same way, before you just take anybody's like review of a movie as, oh, this movie's bad or, oh, this movie's good, take a second to realize maybe they weren't the one this movie was meant for, or maybe they're not the people that would like this type of TV show, but I like these types of TV shows because they speak to me in this way. So maybe I can make my own decisions about if it's good or not. But that's not to say don't ever listen to movie reviews, because you know your good sis over here does a movie review from time to time. Definitely check into those. But like I said, even my movie reviews, use a little bit of nuance and use a little bit more discernment and decide if it's like, oh yeah, this person's right, this movie's amazing, or I don't know, better not. Maybe I'll just watch it myself and come up with it myself. So yeah, definitely I enjoyed chatting with you guys this week. Thank you so much for sitting here and listening to me rant about all the issues on TikTok that I've had, because who else can I rant to but you guys? Anyway, thanks for joining me for the Your Nerdy Girlfriend podcast, and I will see you guys next week. Also, just a heads up, we are starting a Patreon that will be coming out February, the first week in February. I will have a date for you on next week, by next week's episode, or you can make sure you check out my Twitter at NatCoBabe. I promise you on my Twitter, I will let you guys know more updates on the Patreon, but the Patreon will include awesome goodies like merch. It will include bonus episodes. It'll include Q&As, live chats, and all types of really fun stuff. So you definitely don't want to miss out on that. So make sure that you are checking out the Twitter page at NatCoBabe, the Instagram page, or that you are listening along so that you can make sure that you don't miss out. All right, see you guys next time. Thank you for joining us this week on Your Nerdy Girlfriend podcast. Make sure to check us out at Your Nerdy Girlfriend on Instagram to vote on episode topics and to have your voice heard in our What Are You People Saying segment, where I answer your questions. Make sure to leave us a review on iTunes. And if you like what you've heard, make sure you share with others. Thanks for listening. See you guys next Thursday.